you've been saying, oh, I think this account is a little at risk because I just don't know if they're getting the ROI that they need yet. And turns out you're right.
Yeah, the issue is that this client has this unique business where they have really strict lead qualification criteria. And so our total lead numbers are really good. It's like prototypical ideal client for Grow and Convert process. We're ranking for these keywords, we're getting tons of leads, but they just have an insanely specific qualification criteria to where it goes from like 100 leads to like 3 high quality ones.
The client comes in on the call and just starts off the call by just kind of being straightforward and saying, like, we go through all of our reporting stuff, and then he just kind of asks the question like, well, we just really need to scale the high quality number here, and I don't know if we're getting the ROI that we need yet.
No. I remember his exact language. He said, we have been underwhelmed by the lead number. And then what is this? We're 7 months in? That's a key part of this story. 7 months into the engagement. And when I, as Johnny Raincloud, was voicing in our internal Slack updates, we do these weekly updates on Mondays where everyone kind of comments on the accounts that they're on and what are they worried about or whatever. I had said, you know, everything about this account on the surface suggests that the client is happy, but I'm uncomfortable about it. It was this. Because I was like, at some point with our rate, if they're really only getting like, and back then it was like two high quality leads or whatever a month, at some point they're gonna be wondering what is going on. Okay, so we have another client scenario or situation that's been a challenge. Since I seem to be the one doing these really, like, sort of stressed out intros for all the videos, I want to see if you can do it. So Benji, why don't you describe to everyone what happened on a recent client call that we are going to do an analytics deep dive to discuss. What happened?
Okay.
We have this client.
Well, first off, I'll say Johnny Raincloud has been worried about this account for the last 2 or 3 months. So I feel like I'm on these calls more than you. I think you were out for a couple of them. Yeah. But yeah, in the background, you've been saying, oh, I think this account is a little at risk because I just don't know if they're getting the ROI that they need yet. And turns out you're right. So on this call, the founder...
By the way, I want everyone listening to know that he's referring to me. I am Johnny Raincloud. Because at a previous job, someone noted that no matter how good the news is, I can always find some way to rain on the parade via the data. So anyway, so yeah. We think the results are pretty good. But continue.
Yeah, so I'm looking at the results and I think they're good. But I think you've been looking at just the cost per lead numbers or something like that. And you're just I don't know how they're... Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, the issue is that this client has this unique business where they have really strict lead qualification criteria. And so our total lead numbers are really good. It's like prototypical ideal client for Grow and Convert process. Like, we're ranking for these keywords, we're getting tons of leads, but they just have an insanely specific qualification criteria to where it goes from like 100 leads to like 3 high quality ones.
Yeah. So we've grown their account from 0 7 months ago to 125 leads per month. But then the high quality leads, I think we're getting 3 out of the 125. And I think their numbers that they shoot for is 1 out of 40 is high quality. And that's the strict qualification criteria. So the client comes in on the call and just starts off the call by just kind of being straightforward and saying, we go through all of our reporting stuff. And then he just kind of asks the question like, well, we just really need to scale the high quality number here. And I don't know if we're getting the ROI that we need yet.
No. I remember his exact language. He said, we have been underwhelmed by the lead number. And then what is this? We're 7 months in? That's a key part of this story.
Yeah.
7 months into the engagement. And when I, as Johnny Raincloud, was voicing in our internal Slack updates. We do these weekly updates on Mondays where everyone kind of comments on the accounts that they're on and what are they worried about or whatever. I had said, you know, everything about this account on the surface suggests that the client is happy, but I'm uncomfortable about it. It was this, because I was like, at some point with our rate, if they're really only getting like, and back then it was like two high quality leads or whatever a month, like at some point they're going to be wondering what is going on. And then it happened. And he said on the call exactly what I had feared. We have been underwhelmed by the lead number. And I think he was just asking an open-ended question. How do we get this up?
Yeah, and I looked at the numbers and I thought they were really good. So for context, I think the last month we got two high quality, and then they have something that they deem average quality. Both the average and high quality are good enough leads for them, for their sales team to work. And then in terms of just the total numbers, last month we got 2 out of 9 total for their entire business. And so
pause. This, we need to slow down here. What Benji's saying is their entire website, their business in total last month generated 9 of these high quality leads. Again, this is, they generated total hundreds of total leads. And out of those, high quality or high and average, I forget which one it is, but
it was just
this high quality, is 9 total. Our content, we've been in the engagement for 7 months. The first month, one thing gets published, right? At the end of the month. So it's like 6-ish months of published pieces. Forget time to rank. Published pieces, 6-ish months. We generated 2 of those 9. What is 2 divided by 9?
It's 22%. So yeah, so I look at those numbers and I'm like, okay, this is really good news. So in 7 months, we've been able to make up 22% of their total lead, high quality lead volume. The numbers look good. If we just continue at this rate, we should see really great results. Like start making up 50% of their total lead volume and then eventually surpass however many that they've generated on their own. And then I'm also thinking, I mean, I don't really know how long that they've been in business, but okay, say the business has been around for 2 to 4 years. So everything that they've done up until this time is generating those 9 leads a month. And in 7 months, we're making up 22% of that. So
yeah.
me looking at this channel too, I'm also like, yeah, this should be a no-brainer to keep investing in this, because I don't even know what else you could do in a 7-month time period, maybe paid ads, but in terms of just the cost and return and how strict their lead qualification criteria is, I don't even know if paid would be able to get those kind of results. So all this led to a discussion on our side internally, and we needed to crunch more numbers to kind of show the client that there was a positive trend and that if they were just to keep continuing with us, that this should be a very profitable engagement for them.
Yeah. I mean, he asked us, you know, can you do any projections, which is a little bit dicey. So the business question at hand, as per this video series about our journey, here are the things factored in. As usual, in most of our videos, we're going to refer to the churn video, which is episode 2. What episode is that? 3?
I think like 3, yeah.
Yeah, there's one on churn. Houston, we have a churn problem or something like
that. It's episode 3.
And so the big thing here is at 7 months, we want them to continue. The conclusion of that video was clients, on average, who stay with us for 12 months, stay with us for over 2 years. If you last a year, you have waited long enough for SEO to do its thing. And especially our like high impact conversion rate based SEO process, and then you last for 2+ years. And if you're under 12 months, you typically churn around now. So that's kind of the problem at hand.
But you also said if they make it to 8, I think that they make it to 13. So they're right on the cusp. And I feel like these conversations where the client starts to feel a little bit uneasy, they've paid like 6 months or 7 months of invoices, all these conversations typically happen in this time period. So the 6 to 8 month window is right when you're starting to hit liftoff on traffic and leads. but you haven't done it yet. And so the client's just starting to wonder, when am I going to get payback for this channel?
Yeah. And so what typical, I don't know, you can edit this out if I'm going to be too mean here, but I'm just going to say it, like, what typical agencies, what we hear from clients, frustrations with past agencies, is in these types of conversations, what do agencies do and what did we do is the topic of today's episode. But what we hear is that clients get frustrated when agencies sort of, what's the right word? Like, sugarcoat and almost kind of dismiss this kind of questioning. Because it's hard when you're like, guys, you know, I don't care that you think our lead qualification criteria is hardcore. In my mind and in my world, there's been 2 to 3 a month and I'm paying you whatever, 8,000, 10,000 a month. Like, I want this to be higher. And he kind of, oh, by the way, he kind of said, like, if this continues for longer, we're going to have to reassess our resources, which is just a very polite way of being like, we're going to end the engagement, right? And so normally there's like this whole, you know, like the typical content agencies, like, just give it time, wait, blah, blah, blah. But we, in Grow and Convert fashion, measure leads sort of extremely carefully through all sorts of different lenses. And what did we do? We dove into the data. And so we want to talk through the and show actually literally the data. I've X'd out the client name. So let's start doing that. And then
with the article that shows just this time period where someone's at this point in the engagement, because I think this helps add a lot of context to what the client is feeling right now.
So this article is, how long does it take to rank on the first page of Google? We'll link to it in the notes here. And we wrote this, I don't know if we wrote it for that, but we wrote this, I think, because this became a pattern. And the first graph in here, so I'm just going to warn everyone, this is going to start to get analytical, but if you're interested in, you know, learning how and seeing how we kind of answer these questions in depth, and if you happen to be in the SEO content field, this should be very educational. I apologize to anyone listening on the podcast. I'll try my best to explain these graphs, but we also have this on YouTube where you can literally see the screen share. So I'm sharing my screen now. So we have a graph here of an analysis I did 2 years ago or something, 1 or 2 years ago, where there's like 20, it's a scatter plot, there's 20 dots on the screen. Each dot represents a client. The x-axis is months engaged with us, and it goes 5, 10, 15, 20, 25. And then the y-axis is number of blog posts we have ranking on page one of their target keyword. And those go 25, 50, 75, 100, 125. And what you see is flat zero from 0 to 5 months, meaning clients who've been engaged with us from 0 to 5 months basically have zero posts ranking on page one. That's normal. And then it's sort of, there's like a spread in the data, but it starts to more or less linearly increase from months 5 to 10 to 15 to 20. And then there's, you know, data points out past 25. And in fact, now we have, you know, clients that have been with us. In fact, this graph doesn't show one of our best clients been with us for 5 years because they are so high up off. We have so many pages on page one, if you included that.
No, I actually do think that top right one is them. It's just from 2 years ago.
Oh, I thought I eliminated that data point because it scrunched all the rest of the data down. Nonetheless, that's what we're looking at. So we have like flat, 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 and then at 5 months it starts to increase. So what we've noticed is right around this 5 to 7 month mark where the curve inflects upward is where this trough of disillusionment, quote unquote, where clients start to question things because you've paid. Our rates are 10K a month for content or 8K a month with the 1 year commitment. Also in the churn episode, we discussed this, but you've paid, you know, 5, 6, 7 months of these invoices. And you're thinking, well, where are the leads? Because we know leads come from these page one rankings. So if we don't have page one rankings for the first few months, you don't really have any leads or hardly any. And so
I wouldn't say we have zero in those first 4 months, by the way. I think it's just a function of that 0 to 25 band being so large. And so it's just single digit numbers for a lot of those.
Oh, yeah.
So even here, like 7 months in, I think the client, if I remember correctly, maybe has 8 to 10 blog posts ranking in those in first page.
Yeah, no, it's teens. It's like 12 to 14. We'll look at that data in a second. So there, for those watching on YouTube, their data point at month 7 is like exactly on this trend line. And their objection, is that the right word? Or, I don't know, questioning, hey, like, what's going on? Why don't we get more leads? Is also exactly when we would expect it. And we know, like we said, if we just get them to last a little bit longer, that's when they last for a long time. 8 months gives us over a year. Over a year typically gives us over 2 years. So now let's look at their data. So number one thing here, total leads per month. I'm going to zoom in on this. Okay. So their total leads per month data. So by the way, just let me just kind of zoom out. I'm sharing this spreadsheet tab. This is exactly what we show the client. I'm Xing out the client's name. Just looking at the bottom, you see the level of analysis we do. We have tabs called conversion charts, conversions by post, lead quality by post, non-GNC leads, etc. So like we're slicing and dicing this data in multiple different ways. And I'm just going to walk through the graphs. I'm going to try not to show the data, you know, itself, and just keep some level of like confidentiality here. Total leads per month graph. Look at this for this client. Like we have from July 2023 to last month, January 2024. I mean, this graph for those of you not watching on YouTube, is just like a beautiful, like almost linear growth, right? A single digit numbers in July to over 100 total leads per month. And what is this? Total leads, not for their business. This is leads that we've attributed via, they have some internal attribution. It's not GA4, right? They use like Salesforce data or something.
We use What Converts for them.
Yeah. So with What Converts attributed to our posts, meaning these are leads that first landed on our blog posts and then submitted their lead form. Over 100 a month attributed to our blog posts. I mean, this is like outstanding results. But as we said, this client has ridiculously stringent requirements, which is okay. That's their business. Totally okay. That's their business, right? And their customers are who their customers are. And so there, it's like 1, 2, 3. So in September and October, we had 1. Then in November, we got 3. Then December, 2. Then back to 3 in January. So this is what's causing that anxiety, as it should. Totally reasonable. And so when the client asks, well, these numbers seem underwhelming, you know, what can we expect going forward? I would ask the audience, how will you answer that? What do you do? Right? Do you just say, no, look. The first answer is obviously just look at the trend. It's up and to the right. Why wouldn't you want to keep seeing? And then if they ask you, well, how, you know, in a few months, what's it going to get to? The honest answer from any marketer is, I don't know, man. Like, I can't predict the future. We'll see. Like, will it continue increasing linearly? That would be amazing. Does it taper off? You know, that could happen. Like, we'll see. So here's our thought process and some analysis I did literally like yesterday on this. The first thing I wanted to see is conversion rate. And I'm going to stick to these high and average leads because that's what the client wants. Why? So first of all, what do I mean by conversion rate? Instead of just looking at overall high and average leads for this client by month, I wanted to look at the conversion rate of percent of organic traffic to our posts that's turning into high and average leads. Okay. Actually, I can show both. I can show both of these graphs side by side. And so why? Because if that's steady, if there's a given percent of all organic traffic that's turning into leads and high and average leads, then we have something we can work with to try to predict it. We would say, oh, if it's 2% or whatever, you know, we can say 2% of organic traffic leads to that. So to get 10, as Benji mentioned, per month, or at least last month, their entire business generated 9 of these high average quality leads. And so if we can, our post can generate 10, then we ourselves have doubled it. That's like, should be pretty good, right? So 2%, we can say, okay, multiply whatever by 2% and get 10. 200? I should be able to do that off the top of my head. 10 divided by 0.02. 500. So 500 times 2% is 10 or whatever. And so when I plotted this, immediately for total leads, I noticed something interesting. The conversion rate is not steady. It's been increasing over time. Meaning, the percent of organic traffic that's turning into leads back in July and August in the summer when we started is actually smaller than now. Now it's more. Back then it was 0.5%, less than 0.5%. Then we approached 1% somewhere between in the fall. Then in the winter, December, January, we're now crossing 2%. That itself, I'm going to pause here, was interesting and get your opinion, Benji, on why. Like, I would think, look, grow and convert process, we're going after these high conversion keywords, high buying intent, bottom of the funnel keywords. You know, the conversion rate should be good, but it should be steady. And then our game, the game we're playing is just to get more and more of these rankings to get more traffic up multiplied by a good, steady conversion rate. But the conversion rate itself is increasing.
Yeah. I mean,
it's good news.
Yeah, it makes sense to me. I mean, why? Basically, because we're moving on, in our minds, are the highest converting topics in the very beginning of our engagement. And it's taking a little bit of time for those pieces to start ranking. And so I think maybe in November, December was when a couple of those really high buying intent pieces got into those top spots. And so I think just from a conversion rate perspective, that's when we're starting to see conversions come through.
So then I would ask, why was, say, like August or September converting so low, 0.5% or 1%?
Probably because the traffic source. I don't know if all, is this only organic or is it all total traffic?
It's on organic.
Okay.
Yeah, it could be. Actually, you make a good point. What if when we first started publishing the pieces and they weren't really ranking highly for their target keywords yet, and the target keyword we're going after is the high buying intent? Yeah, you publish it. They have a decent domain with a good long history. It starts ranking for some random serendipitous like long tail variations that may not quite match the intent. So you start to get some organic traffic, but the intent of that traffic is not as well matched for those. And so you get some conversions, but the conversion rate is low. And then over time, as it starts to rank for the intended target keyword that's like bottom of funnel, we know it's going to convert, then you start to see these GNC, these grow and convert level conversion rates. Oh, I actually didn't think of that a lot yesterday, so good we're talking through this. So this itself was like, okay, this is very encouraging. Because now if we present, and we will, to the client, how when you see these graphs, the conversion rate itself increasing, how do you stop that engagement? Right? Because you're going to want to see how high does the conversion rate get to? What will it increase to? And if the conversion rate is increasing, then the higher and higher the conversion rate, the less organic traffic we need to get a same amount of conversions.
Yeah, but both should be increasing. Both the conversion rate and the traffic to the pieces should be increasing at the same time.
Right. And the traffic times conversion rate is total leads. So if both of those inputs is increasing, your total leads should be increasing very rapidly. So it's like, again, what if you know this, that is not a marketing channel you would stop, right? Or you would end. So then I wanted to go a little bit further and do this same kind of conversion rate analysis, but not as a function of traffic, not leads divided by traffic, which is typical conversion rate. I want to do it as a function of number of rankings on page one or top three positions. Why? Because even if we know conversion rate, okay, we got conversion rate up to 2-3% or whatever, or for the high and average, we got it to 0.1% or something if it goes past this to 0.1%. Yeah, but I would say, well, okay, then we can figure out how much traffic we need, but how do we know when we're going to get that number of traffic? Traffic was just, it felt a little bit more like hard to predict for me. Whereas number of first page rankings, as per this article, like we know the trend of most clients, like at a year's time, most clients have about 30, some, you know, somewhere between 25 and 40 first page rankings. So that's just a little bit more, like we have more data, we can predict that a little bit better. Traffic is harder because those first page rankings for a variety of clients, like they have a different search volumes, right? In different industries, different businesses. And so it's harder to predict that. And so I did that. And I'm going to look at this one graph. You know, high and average quality leads as a function of first page rankings. And that also is increasing. That we have, you know, at the early stage, when we only had two page one rankings for two keywords, and then eventually like six or seven, we were only getting a couple high and average leads. And then more recently, when we've had over 10 page one rankings, which, can we just pause? 6-7 months into this content engagement, and your content agency is ranking on double digit 10 to 12 unique high buying intent, not random top of funnel keywords, like bottom of funnel keywords that when they Google it, they have intent to buy your service on page one. That is great. Side note, I'm biased, obviously. 10 to 12. So when we get double digits, 10 first page rankings, 12, 14, now we're seeing high to average leads grow, and we're seeing that grow. So then and I was like, oh, interesting. Now, for those of you looking at the screen share, I've fit a trend line here that's linear. But if you actually look at the data points, it's not linear, right? It looks like it's kind of like this exponential curve in reality would fit better. But if we just pretend it's linear for a second, then what we see, I thought to myself, let's do some more advanced math. If it's linear, I can calculate what the slope of that graph is. In other words, there's this, I warned everyone this is going to get a little bit mathematical, so try your best to follow along. We're talking to a bunch of like content marketers and SEOs that are going to hear the next part and their heads will just like stop. There's this coefficient, translates number of first page rankings times some number equals these high and average quality leads. I was like, what's that coefficient? What's that number? It's like a slope of that line. What's the slope of that line? And with some simple calculations, it's actually, there's a great Excel or spreadsheet function literally called slope. You can just put the data in. It was 0.23. Meaning, you can figure out if I have 10 first page rankings, you multiply that by 0.23. That's 2.3 high and average quality leads for this client. It now becomes kind of predictive. So I can say, if it holds at 0.23, then if you had 20, you'd have about 4 of these high quality leads. You know, if you have 100, you'd have 23 of these high quality leads. So I thought, this is predictive now. And now we can say, and then we know that that coefficient is increasing. The slope itself is increasing. As I looked at that slope over time, I then plotted the slope over time. Like, I was like, okay, we have the data. Let's lean into who we are as an agency, right? And I'm just going to keep analyzing this data, like one after another, to keep asking why. Wasn't there some business framework, 5 whys or something? And so we know that slope itself is increasing. In July and August, it was near 0. In the fall, it moved to 0.1, 0.15, 0.2, 0.25. And we have a beautiful graph of that slope increasing and moving up. Meaning, as time progresses, just like this is basically the same thing as conversion rate going up, but it's for first page rankings, not traffic. And so I was like, this is amazing. So we can now say, look, this graph looks like it's bound to hit 0.3, 0.4, maybe even 0.5. I don't know when it's going to stop increasing and start to like taper off. We don't know this. But again, if you see this as a client and you see your agency can analyze at this level, how do you stop this? We haven't had that call yet, but this is that data.
I think it's good because, again, I, as a business owner, if I was in their shoes, I just don't know what else you could do. So their main goal is obviously increasing the lead volume of high and average leads. We're both on the same page there. We're trying to hit that. They're trying to hit that. If they were to remove content as a channel or just remove us as the agency doing this for them, I don't know how you grow high and average leads quickly. Like, so in the next 6 months or in the next year, if they were to try something else, I don't really know another channel that they'd be able to replicate this.
Well, let's talk through that. I mean, what about paid search? That's the obvious one.
Yeah, I think the cost per click is probably pretty high. So you're probably talking like $5 to $10 per click. But the key thing is then the conversion rate of lead to high quality lead is so low across their whole site that you'd have to pay for so many clicks to even just get the same number of leads that we're getting. And then the conversion rate from paid is probably going to be even less than what we're getting on the content side. So it just always is. Like, there's so much context that we have in our blog posts on every topic. So every high intent topic, you're going into detail explaining nuances of whatever that topic is. Whereas on the paid side, it's just a very broad landing page typically. And so it just doesn't give as much information. And I think people are a lot less likely to convert on the paid side than on the content side. I mean, we see higher conversion rates and higher quality conversion rates on content over paid almost every single time. And so I think the amount of money that they would have to spend to get even the same results that we're getting on paid is too high for them. And then I don't know what else you do. Like, I just don't know what else you do. Like, maybe if they had like some partnership or some other source where they could get access to these leads, maybe they could get the same thing. But again, starting a new channel from scratch is challenging. So anytime you start a new channel, there's probably six months to a year of learnings before you're really starting to hit your stride. So
what about paid social?
I mean, you have even less buying intent there. So you would have to be able to figure out what the right targeting is to get in front of those exact right people.
I think a lot of people in this situation, or maybe even listening, would think, oh, you have a company that has really stringent lead qualification criteria, like only some companies. LinkedIn, paid LinkedIn is where you can target, you know, by like just ridiculous company metrics.
No, because they have such a specific audience that you couldn't back into the targeting with LinkedIn. Like, you wouldn't be able to get specific enough.
That's true. That we can't describe it more than that.
I know. I want to, but we can't. But they wouldn't be able to target that way. To be honest, I think...
There's another reason, which is that LinkedIn is ridiculously expensive cost per click. So you're paying. So I think it goes back to that tiny conversion rate to what they call high quality leads. When you have a tiny conversion rate, you have a business that has that really high conversion rate. It means when you're using a paid channel, this is what Benji was saying for paid search, and it applies to LinkedIn as well. You're going to need a ton of clicks to get one lead because you have a tiny conversion rate. And if you're paying $5, $10 on LinkedIn, it's something that's like $20 a click. If you need 200 clicks.
Look at the amount of traffic that we're getting and how much converts. So even if we said paid gets the same conversion rate, which it wouldn't, let's say 1,000, 2,000 clicks at $5, $10, like you're already creeping up on the cost.
For a lead. Yeah. Not for a customer, a lead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the only thing that I can think of that they would be able to do is targeted outbound prospecting. Like, that's the only thing. That's the only channel that I could even think of. Because
yeah. I identify the exact companies that you know beforehand are a fit, and so then you have a targeted list.
You have to pitch them. But even that would require like building out a prospecting team, building out like a whole sales process, building out the right messaging. The amount of and then figuring out a source of data that would even give you those prospects. I don't even know where you would find that.
Yeah, the SDR costs and all that. That's not going to be a month because they have such a specific target
that they're going after. I don't even know if there is a data source that would be able to get that information. Maybe there's a couple, but yeah, I mean, it's building out an entirely new channel from scratch, and then it's unproven at this point. So.
Yeah, and there's been some discussions on the calls there about, like, you know, some other content ideas that we would all qualify as top of funnel. You know, that leads to, you know, on our side, sometimes when that happens, it can be tough, but it's just something you have to deal with on the agency side where we're thinking, this is obviously better, right? Like, bottom of the funnel content has a higher conversion rate, but like, you know, sometimes if the client really believes in some other method, and even if you are like, look, I have, you know, hundreds of data points across a bajillion clients across 5-6 years of our work that shows that this method that we do is better. Like, you know, they don't have that background. That's just kind of like some of the emotional roller coaster of being in this seat is that we have such confidence in our method because we have seen this across so many different businesses across years of work that we're like, guys, trust me, like that's not going to work or whatever. They don't have that. And so the way we've approached it is try to show this data. That article we published these articles. We're doing video like this. Like honestly, like this could probably make a good Grow and Convert blog post, right? Some, you know, I don't know, we kind of generalize or analyze this data and then we say like, here's some advanced ways to predict conversions from SEO. Ooh, I'm kind of convincing myself. Maybe I should
write this post. I think it is a good idea. Because you know, before you actually crunched the data, I didn't know how we would come up with the predictive way to see how many months it would potentially take.
Yeah, same. I just sat down last night as I was watching my Warriors win another basketball game and in commercials, I would pause and like play around with the data. Like that's kind of how I do this is I'm like, okay, well, I just ask myself a question. Well, so what's the conversion rate? Is that steady or what number is it? And then I calculate that. Then I see something interesting. Oh, the conversion rate's going up. And then sort of ask the next question and go up from there. If anyone's, by the way, is listening and is like, oh, this seems really advanced, you do it. How do I do this? If you think about this, none of the actual calculations I did are that complicated. It's like divide this number by that number, like do this and that. It's just like you have to gather the data, first of all, is the biggest challenge. Like you need to have this data. Conversion rate from specific URLs over time. And then you need to just invest the time and have the curiosity to play around with it. Anyway, I was getting distracted. Our approach to this client education has been, we're going to lean on this data because we feel like we don't need to do this kind of fluffing, sugarcoating, whatever, whatever. We have this. We can't solve. I think I see a lot of agency type folks on Twitter, on social media. There's this kind of culture from the marketer expert of making fun of clients who like, quote unquote, don't get it, right? Don't you see like these tweets where it's like, I say this, client says that, oh, this client or whatever. Look, everyone in our seat feels it. Like we get frustrated too. That's life, right? But I think maybe a more healthy and empowering way to do it is, well, if you know something that the client doesn't and you think if they knew this, they would, you know, see what I'm seeing or see the light, then that's on you to some extent. And that's how we've approached it. Like
it is on you.
Right? So like we approach it by like, okay, look, let's write about it. Let's show these articles. Let's have this call. Like we're proposing to the client, we're not going to wait till the next monthly call. We want to talk about this immediately because we don't want these worries to stew in their head. Is we sort of lean into it and be like, let's solve this problem. In fact, to get a little bit too philosophical or historical, this mindset of approaching our engagements this way is what created Pain Point SEO. Because we were doing top of the funnel stories back then. And as per whatever piece that explains that a founding story of Pain Point SEO is a framework, that client back then pushed us and said, why are we doing all these random stories? They're not helping our business. The only these three pieces are. So we lean into it. And instead of saying, this client is so ridiculous, blah, 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 like, oh, they're so frustrating. Don't you see these stories are helping the brand? We were like, you know what? He's kind of right. And so we said, how do we only do that? What's separating those pieces from working? And then eventually Pain Point SEO came from that.
Yeah, and even the blog post that you showed earlier, just with the how long it takes to rank, that also came from, I think, either prospects questioning us or clients questioning us, just how long is it really going to take to start seeing results? And we didn't really have a good answer for that before. And so we looked at all of the data and then created that scatter plot. And then it was just really clear to us after looking at that data just where that inflection point was. And now we use that as a way to set expectations on every single sales call and in the beginnings of clients' engagements, because I feel like even if you say it on the sales call, once you get a few months in and you start paying those invoices again, that worry comes back that I'm never going to see a return from this channel. And so just showing the client data that we've seen across a number of different businesses, that there's that inflection point that happens between month 5 and 8, I really think helps set expectations.
And frankly, from what we've heard, no other agency is doing this. People don't show that data. They don't have it. They don't show it. They don't lean into it. I'm going to say something again that's maybe a little bit cocky, probably because the data is not very good.
They don't analyze it. Yeah, it's funny. So we created that post to try to rank for how long does it take to rank on the first page of Google. And if you look at the SERP, there's like a bunch of other posts that just give some random number. They'll say like, oh, three months or 6 months. And it's like, but there's no data actually backing that. I see it on Twitter too. People just throw out like, oh, if you're not showing results in less than 6 months on SEO, your agency sucks. Like they'll
say like,
yeah, there's been this big thing. Cause like their service is all in like revolved around updating existing pieces and just showing movements and rankings and things like that. They're not measuring all the way through conversion. So yeah, I mean, it's easy to show quick wins. I mean, we could start
just traffic. Yeah, yeah, we can update some posts and sure. Then get more traffic.
We could come into a client engagement in month one. Like like what David said yesterday, updating that blog post moved it in a few hours. Yeah, you can make changes to a site and see immediate improvement, but is it improvement on the right metrics? So yeah, we can improve some, we could update some blog post and see the ranking position move from 10 to 5 or 10 to 1. But does that blog post even generate leads for the client?
I will say, since part of this video series is about like the sort of emotional ride that we're going through and doing this, just to be candid with everyone, I do get frustrated when I see like other, I don't know, SEO content folks sort of publish this. And like, I just think sometimes there's this thing in our field where the clients just, they don't know enough to smell the bullshit. You know what I mean? And so like, they're like, oh yeah, this SEO agency increased traffic really fast. And like the agency is not mentioning, or maybe he's not even aware that most of that traffic is not converting. It's just traffic. And so sometimes I'm frustrated. I'm like, we're doing things the right way. Like we're actually measuring conversions and showing conversion rate. Like who does this? And it's like, but sometimes that is a bearer of bad news. But some other agencies are just like, we got the traffic to increase to this. And then people are like, I want more traffic. Because clients come to us literally in our lead form. It's like, what do you want? And they're like, more traffic. Or our traffic went down. We want more traffic. And we have to get on a call.
More traffic, more leads. And again, that was the premise that we started the business on. We realized that's not true. You can grow traffic and your lead volume doesn't increase. Why? Because the traffic comes from blog posts that don't have any conversion intent.
And I feel like we've had conversations in the past where I've been like, in our low moments of Grow and Convert years ago, when I was been like, Benji, screw it. Like, why don't we just, people want traffic, even though we know that the majority of this traffic's not doing anything for their business. That's what they want. Give them what they want. McDonald's makes a lot of money. They're not helping anyone get healthier. They know that stuff's going to kill you. But like, you want French fries sometimes, it's tasty.
It's just not our business. I feel like solving the actual problem is the sustainable business long term. Because again, at some point, someone's going to ask, how much return am I getting? And it's not going to be measured on traffic. And solving the real problem is more defensible. Like even in this situation, the client comes to us and says, we have to think about reallocating our budget. Okay, well, at least we're focused on getting them ROI. And if we can get that ROI number up, they're not going anywhere. Like if we were just focused on traffic, what do you do? Like, okay, you try to get more traffic and just hope it converts.
That's why even the churn, when I did that churn analysis that led to that video, I was frustrated because I'm just like, sometimes I do think that. I'm like, come on, like we're doing things the right way. We're focused on the metric that actually matters. We're literally educating these clients on this. They haven't done this analysis. They're not even thinking like this. They're just like, well, I just want my business to grow, which is fine. That's reasonable, right? And then when I was like, wait, why is our churn at like 12 months or whatever, our average lifespan, it should be higher, but so be it. Sometimes it does feel like we're being more honest about the truth of these marketing numbers, these SEO numbers. And sometimes I feel like our honesty bites ourselves, you know, because we're like revealing to the client something they didn't even think. And then when they see that, they're like, oh, this is tough. You're like, yeah, it is tough. Whereas if we just sort of didn't talk about it and you had some client that just sort of was ignorant of these things, and I don't mean that in a bad way, just like literally doesn't know, And it just thinks the traffic is good. And then our agency's like, here's more traffic. And they think it's good. And no one on any side is measuring conversion rate. Then it's almost like this blissful ignorance thing. But look, I say this, but I agree with you. There's a reason, right? Like our agency is focused on what it is. It's borderline, I would feel, almost unethical. Like, it's like, you know, it's like, yeah, on one extent, you're like McDonald's or Coca-Cola. Like, Coca-Cola built a billion-dollar business feeding people sugared water that's not good for them. But, like, you know what I mean? So, like, we could build a Coca-Cola of content marketing. Just here, give yourself traffic. It's just like, it's a quick hit. Oh, this tastes good, you know? But in the end, that's not who we are, and we're leaning into this, and I agree with you. I think long-term, hopefully, that's more sustainable. And now we have a path. We have the data to be like, we just need to show them these results from a lead perspective to 12 months. And we already know if they do that, they stay with us for years.
If you like this video, don't forget to subscribe. You can also get the audio-only versions of these shows wherever you get your podcasts. And you can follow us at growandconvert.com/newsletter for any articles and updates for when these videos come out.